know the day destroys the night. Night divine.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
I'm on the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you considered yourself a woman or and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want basketball. Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes.
Well, that's legendary basketball coach of the national championship women's basketball team, the South Carolina Gamecocks, before the championship game last week. And she has taken a lot of heat, hasn't walked it back, saying, hey, if you're a guy that wants to act like a girl, you can play in the NCAA women's tournaments, apparently. I bet our next guest, Paula Scanlon, has a thought or two about that. She's an ambassador with Independent Women's Forum and was a teammate of so-called Leah Thomas, actually Michael Thomas, I think, was his real name, at the University of Pennsylvania on the swim team. Thanks for being with me, Paul. I really appreciate it this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
Your story is one that I think has captivated, along with, of course, Riley Gaines and others who have had to compete against. You were actually on the team with this transgender athlete. You joined IWF to really bring out the voices of women across the nation who want to preserve the sanctity of women's sports and protect them to be able to compete among other women on a level playing field. Can you tell us a little bit first of all about your experience being on that team with so-called Leah Thomas, and how the college administration there at the University of Pennsylvania and the student body attempted to silence and suppress you and others' voices?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we were originally told that Thomas was not going to be changing in our locker room, and when the season began, he had a locker right there next to everyone else. And one of my teammates had the locker next to him. And she had to go outside. There was a single stall family bathroom outside in the hallway. Every single day she changed in that bathroom instead of the locker room because she could not change next to a fully grown 6'4" tall man with male genitalia. She said, I'm not doing that. And that is just one aspect. And when she told our coaches, they were told that we're really sorry. There's nothing we can do about it. And additionally, so the media starts to get a hold of the story. So the administration comes in to talk to the entire team. They have this team meeting for just the women's team. Leah is told, or Will, whatever you want to call him, is told not to come to this meeting. And the administration comes in and they said, Leah being on this team is a non-negotiable. If you object to him being on the team, you are on the wrong side of history. You'll never get a job. This will taint you for the rest of your life. And the last thing they told us is they said, here's a representative from Student Psychological Services, and if you continue to object, please seek therapy. So it was completely insane. The university, it was ridiculous. The university also continued to highlight his accomplishments, and they nominated him for NCAA Women of the Year at the end of that. So it just
Paula, how disrespected on the one hand and humiliated did it feel to have your voices just absolutely squelched and dishonored like that, telling you that you had some kind of a psychological problem if you didn't honor this absurd construct on sports?
I mean, I honestly felt just completely discouraged. And the worst part about that meeting, though, is that it worked. I had several teammates that previously I would have one-on-one conversations with, and they would tell me, I think it's unfair, or it makes me upset that this is happening, or whatever, just something and not agreeing with it. And after that meeting, they were not willing to have those conversations anymore. They said, nope, we have to be supportive. We have to be together and supportive. And it just, again, everyone is scared. They told us we were never going to be able to find a job. And ultimately, you go to a school like the University of Pennsylvania, so you can get a good job after graduating. So if you tell these young, you know, 18 to 22 year old girls that they're going to lose everything that they've worked for their entire lives, of course they're not going to want to say something.
I don't know. It's amazing to me. And, you know, as I think about it, I'm old enough, Paula, to have watched the feminist movement through the 70s and 80s into the 90s to make a lot of advances for equality of treatment in women. And, you know, Title IX was a great thing that happened and really helped, I think, you know, honor and protect women's sports as a separate and protected way of competing, because there's no way that you can expect a woman to compete against a man just because of the body composition realities that the genetics endow on people, right? But do you think that what's happened here is really sort of an ironic and sinister overshoot of the feminist movement? It's like, hey, you know, we're all the same. You know, I am woman, watch me roar. And I'm, you know, who are you going to tell me that I can't do anything I want to do? You know, it's sort of a perverse bastardization of the feminist cause, right? Sort of gone awry. Or is that a misread?
No, I think you're completely right there. I mean, I think with most things, sometimes you just go so far into one direction, you end up going the other way. And that's how I see this. I mean, they're right. You know what I mean? Like they were trying very hard to get these protections for women and Title IX and all of that. And then they said, okay, we have everything. Now you can't be a woman. Now everyone can be a woman. Now we need to be men, and men need to be women. And, you know, it just, and everyone's really lost it. And it, the worst part about it is that there's these like crazy people who are demanding and saying, you're not a feminist and you're not standing up for women if you don't also allow anyone who identifies as a woman to do all of these things that you get to do. And then there's no point, because that's just everyone. So there was no point in fighting at all. Why don't we just have one sports team? Why don't we just have one bathroom? Yeah. Why don't we just have, you know, I think it's sad really to see. And I know a lot of those older women who fought so hard are really upset about this. There's a whole group of older Olympians and other older female athletes that are very, very upset by what's happening, because they fought so hard because they knew what it was like to not have a sports team. And now they're retired, they're grandparents at this point, and they're watching exactly what they fought for fall apart in front of them.
It's just crazy. We're talking with Paula Scanlon, who was on the team with Will Thomas, who became Leah Thomas, and had to, you know, was asked by her administration coaches to change and I guess be in the same locker room with a guy whose junk was not changed. And that just doesn't make sense to me. Paula, there are some bright spots, though, on the pushback among organizations, both international and national, that now are saying, wait a minute, we have to put the skids on this crazy, crazy hurtling towards absurdity and allowing men to compete on the women's pool or playing field. The NAIA, which represents small colleges, has come out saying, no, it's not going to happen. No transgender athletes to participate in women's sports. So I think that your voice and others at IWF is being heard. And I think it's gratifying to see that. I mean, there are some positive spots now in the pushback against that craziness, isn't there?
Yeah. When I heard that ruling, I was really excited. I mean, finally, someone is doing the right thing. It's honestly crazy it's taking this long. I mean, Leah Thomas won this NCAA championship over 2 years ago. We've been talking about this for a very long time. We've seen countless athletes, female athletes, displaced in every sport imaginable. I'm talking to people playing disc golf. It's absurd that there's any single thing that a female athlete could have or female space. Someone has tried to break the rules and come in and invade those spaces. So I'm hopeful. Obviously, the NCAA has still done nothing on this, and they've been silent. So I would love to see them also wake up and do this, but the NAIA is great for doing this. I think that it's amazing for those athletes in that program. I'm really excited about that. But again, it's taken so long, and I think that we still have so much more work to go, right? Especially since most schools are in the NCAA.
Hey, it's producer Jerome here. I was watching the House hearing on gender confirmation care when that was released last year. And one of the things I think was noted was that the sports commission said that up into the collegiate level, you can compete with whatever gender that you are identifying with. But when it came to the Olympic level, you had to only compete with your biological sex. So when I heard that, it really sounds to me like a lot of these trans athletes might be stealing the possibility for biological female athletes to potentially go to the Olympics. Is that an accurate way of looking at that?
So right now, I think a lot of commissions have come in and said, okay, we want to protect Olympians. But the issue with the Olympic Committee is that it's by sport. So it's really confusing. So for example, in swimming, right after the Julia Thomas scandal, the governing body of swimming called FINA, they came in and they said, if you've gone through male puberty, you cannot compete internationally as a woman. Meaning, Leah Thomas could not compete in the Olympics on the women's side, which is great. But that's not the case in every sport. And there's a lot of people saying it's important to keep Olympic sports integrity, but high school, college, other levels don't matter. And that, to me, is really concerning because it just says, okay, we only care about Olympians if there's gold medals on the line. And if it's your scholarship or your livelihood or your high school state championship, you don't matter. And that's really what that ruling is saying. But the IOC in general has not made a blanket statement about this. They said it's up to each governing body of sport. So whatever your governing body has decided on it, those are the rules. And there are many governing bodies that are still allowing males, no matter when, if they completed puberty or not, to compete in women's categories and potentially win medals at the Olympics. So they still haven't sorted that out.
Yeah. So if you take away the opportunity at what you might call the farm team level, right, before you get to that, you know, Olympian level, some women may never even get to have a chance because they've been defeated at either a high school or a college level. And otherwise, they'd be very, very qualified to compete in the Olympics. It just seems like you're just cutting them off at the knees. It's just so sad and tragic that it's gotten this far. We're talking with Paula Scanlon, at Paula Y. Scanlon. That's S-C-A-N-L-A-N on Twitter. Well, now X. Paula, something that continues to perplex me, and I guess it's the last question I'll ask you. Why isn't there a mass movement from the college level, from the high school level all the way up through college, to have some short-term pain for long-term gain in really making a stand for women's sports by just wholesale across the country, women of all ages and their coaches arm in arm saying, we're not competing. Anyone that puts a team up against us, we're just not going to participate in that contest. We're just not going to do it. There's been reports where a team shows up and there's a trans athlete on the opposing team and they just say, no, we're not going to do it. Now, I guess the opposing argument is, what about all the hard work that's gone into the preparation for that match? But boy, wouldn't that make a statement if there was some nationwide solidarity to just say no and just don't try to compete against an unfair match like that?
Absolutely, that would work really well. The issue is as crazy as it sounds, I mean, there's a few people, and again, polling has showed 70-80% of Americans agree that men should not compete in women's sports. We are in the majority, but the other group of people who I think is probably smaller than 20-30%, but we'll say that number, they're very loud. They're very suppressing of other people's voices, and a lot of people are scared. So, for example, in my experience in the University of Pennsylvania swim team, I would say 80% of us agreed that it was wrong. But the administration was working overtime to make sure that we weren't even willing to talk to each other about it. There was a few girls on the team themselves who were supportive of a man competing on a woman's swim team, and they would make a big deal of suppressing any of the other girls on the team's voices as well. And ultimately, it works because not everyone has a backbone and not everyone realizes that this is so important to speak up about. So yeah. I would love to see that. I mean, there's more people across the country doing it, but I really think this has to come from everyone. We have to be louder and more vocal and encourage each other to speak out. And that's something I I'm trying to do and trying to encourage people when I do hear their stories come out about dealing with this. I think we're getting there. I think more and more people are speaking out. I think we're going to hit a turning point and we're eventually going to win on this issue.
Well, Paula Scanlon, we thank you. And of course, all of the great ladies there at IWF, IWF.org, for all that you do to get your voice out there. And you're really an inspirational voice for common and biological sense. And I hope that whether folks have daughters, granddaughters, sisters, whatever, that are in women's sports or not, that just because it's the right thing to do, that they make their voices heard at boards, at alumni associations, wherever they can do that, and tell administration to get their heads screwed on right. And they may call themselves woke, but they're soundly asleep when it comes to doing the right thing. Paula, we thank you very, very much for being with us. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. Have a great Saturday morning.
All right. There she is, Paula Scanlon. Man, can you imagine that? Just put yourself in the position of a young woman. You're working your butt off. She was a highly competitive swimmer at the college level, University of Pennsylvania. All of a sudden, a guy walks in claiming he's a girl, drops his drawers, and you and your teammates are supposed to be showering and changing with him? Really? We've lost our minds, America. We have lost our minds if anyone thinks that's appropriate. Let's take a few calls. Your thoughts on it. What are you doing? What can be done? What experiences do you have, if any, on that front? 314-912-1019 as we continue here on The Tolbert Show. On News Talk 1019-94.1, we'll be back.
The worst part about it is that there's these like crazy people who are demanding and saying you're not a feminist and you're not standing up for women if you don't also allow anyone who identifies as a woman to do all of these things that you get to do. And then there's no point because that's just everyone. So there was no point in fighting at all.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
I don't know what it is, Jerome, about that music, but that music just jazzes me up. I don't know, it fires me up. Really nice. Thanks for doing that. That's good. Jerome knows what lights the fire there.
Yeah, thanks for having so many good tunes in your sound bed. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit, but sometimes you just can't beat a good classic, right?
No, it's good. You know, the other day we saw a patient in our office, and it's a quiet office. We spend a lot of time with folks, and people don't wait for appointments. We just have a model that is really time-rich. And so when I know a young person's coming in that was maybe a Gen Zer, my daughter who works in the office with us, daughter Sammy, or my wife, the other day, they came in and on the TV in the waiting room, I had it on the 2000, like the 2000 to 2010 station, you know, playing that. And Sammy says, Dad, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm hip. I can roll with the punches, whatever it was. Is there a group called Pink? Is that a Gen Z group, Pink, or is that the name of a song?
Man, Pink was when I was a kid, and I'm definitely not a Gen Zer. So the fact that she's still relevant is very impressive.
Well, I thought this was the 2010s or 2000. I don't know. Well, at any rate, I don't know. Well, you're a late millennial, right? Aren't you?
Yeah, I was a 90s baby.
Yeah, 90s baby. Okay. Anyway, I try to, but see, that's relevant to a lot of our audience that were, you know, wearing the bell bottoms and the silk shirts in the 70s and 80s disco. So we have to play some disco now and then. I mean, once in a while, I'd like to play some Sinatra, but it might put everyone else to sleep. But he's probably the greatest musician and greatest voice stylist that the country's ever seen, that the planet's ever seen, even though he was a bit of a bad boy. I mean, fabulous, fabulous musician. And if you read about some of the spontaneous things that he did working with Nelson Riddle during the actual sessions that then became iconic tunes. I mean, it's just amazing the actual creativity that happened in those days when, man, you had to lay it down and there was no editing. There were no digital audio things where you could insert a note or a drum beat or a cymbal crash or whatever, or go and record 5 seconds because the rest of the cut was good. I mean, they had to make it clean during those days and it was amazing. Those were some real performers. At any rate, all right. I caught this thing. I want to play some stuff for you guys that caught my attention. And I put this together in the context of what's going on with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve too aggressively kept rates too low during the 2000s, which of course led to the housing bubble. And then even beyond that with Obama and even through Trump, too low for too long, and easy money flowed into the economy. It was too easy for people to buy things at low rates. I mean, people overspent. I think we all were on a big spending spree because money was cheap. And we see how these bubbles, both in the market and the housing market, had a lot to do with Fed policy. And then, of course, you pile on top of that the spending that went on, just a crazy, absolute, out-of-your-mind, cocaine-in-your-nose spending that went on from the federal government, starting under Donald Trump with a complicit Congress, just giving money to people without any regard for why or who or what. And we now are hearing about the fraud during the COVID-19. There was the CARES 1 and CARES 2, and then Biden put it on steroids with the so-called American Rescue Plan when the economy was already on the mend in 2021. Okay, and so now we're in an inflationary atmosphere. The Fed has been tightening the screws on the inflation rates and really raising them, trying to slow the economy down. The CPI numbers come out now a couple of months in a row. The economy is hotter than it should be. Well, not really. It's all explained by the money that's been dumped into the economy, the inability for the federal government to stop the spending. They cannot stop the spending. It's the CHIPS Act. It's the Infrastructure Act. It's the, you know, the student loan forgiveness, regulatory shenanigans. These people cannot spend money. They've got a manic problem. Everyone in D.C. needs to be on lithium. That's a great, you know, treatment for mania, by the way. They just don't get it. So with all that going on, the Fed is sending messages now that really are at odds with what they were sending in the earlier part of the year, which is we need to slow down these so-called or projected rate cuts. And in the light of this, James O'Keefe, remember James O'Keefe started Project Veritas. They're the ones that remember that iconic video. It was so frightening, horrific. The head of Planned Parenthood sitting across the table from the undercover Project Veritas, lunch date with the glass of wine, lightheartedly talking about the proper way to harvest late-term abortion baby parts so that you could harvest them and do research on them. Remember that? Well, that's James O'Keefe company. Well, now he's spun off because he got fired from his own company. I don't understand how that all happened, but he's opened OMG. That's O'Keefe Media Group. One of his people got Aurel Herzan, who is a Fed, works at the Federal Reserve, writes some of the speeches for, or the parts of some of the speeches for Jerome Powell. So this guy is in a major leadership and policy, both formation and messaging position at the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. And in a series of undercover recordings, and it may be a little difficult, but I'll unpack it for you. This is Aurel Hizmo, who basically describes that you have a bunch of progressives, including Jerome Powell, who want to see Donald Trump out of government for good and oppose anything he's about. Here's the first little cut where basically he said while Trump was in charge, Powell was there when Trump was there, and he wanted to do anything opposite of what Trump wanted. Listen.
Trump is such a crazy person. It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy.
Does he hate Trump? And like, is the feeling neutral?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates and doing the opposite that Trump wanted.
He started raising interest rates, doing the opposite of what Trump wanted. Now, many will say, and properly, the Fed should be independent. They should be independent. I think we'd all agree about that. They shouldn't be a political organization. They have two mandates, which I think is a mistake. Who needs the Fed from my perspective? But that's another point. But if there is a Fed, they're supposed to keep what, inflation below 2% and or at 2% and employment below at or below 3%, something like that. Okay, whatever. They have a mandate. But it gets worse. So now you just heard the principal Fed economist under the Finance and Real Estate Department, who writes part of the speeches for Jerome Powell, says that, Powell wanted to do the opposite of what Trump wanted to do. But wait, there's more. Here is the feeling of Jerome Powell and others in the Federal Reserve about Donald Trump in government. Listen.
So the feeling is this, that, like, we don't want Trump to be in government.
Right.
Okay. If you didn't hear it, I'm going to repeat it. That means the Federal Reserve, we don't want Donald Trump in government. Hello? You tell me there isn't a deep state, ladies and gentlemen? Give me evidence that there isn't, because there's prima facie evidence that there is. And then, you know, it's just so sad. This woke ideology that is destroying our economy in the name of some factitious jihad on carbon and on DEI and some myth that somehow we're a racist nation, this narrative that progressives that live in and around Washington, D.C., that dominate our universities and have now infiltrated, because our universities, where our high school and middle school and grade school teachers are trained, have now come to take over all of our public education apparatus. Listen to what Jerome Powell thinks about the DEI, ESG, LGBTQ, EIEIO ideology. Listen to this.
Even though he's Republican on paper, Democrats don't want him.
Yeah, because he's responsive. Under Powell, the Fed has changed to think about equity issues, like racial issues, think about wealth inequality as part of the mandate, as part of the things we're following. Yep. Think about climate change.
You just heard it there. Now the Federal Reserve, who's just supposed to keep interest rates moderate and unemployment moderate, is now into the business of climate change and equity and inclusion. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump is 100% right. This apparatus of our institutions being engaged in social engineering, DEI, ESG, while they bring our economy to its knees, while China laughs at us, Putin laughs at us, the rest of the civilized and some uncivilized world says, where has America gone? You're off the rails over there. No, some of them actually think we're on the rails. That's the problem. America used to lead from a prosperity agenda. Instead, they're selling America out. And then here's the final insult, folks. The final insult. Jerome Powell and all of those, during these clips, I didn't play all of it for you because it goes on for 10, 12 minutes. He talks about how essentially there are no conservatives. Everyone at the Fed that Jerome Powell and others have hired are all progressives. Here's what they think of you conservatives. Listen to this.
People think they're dumb.
Yeah. Would they be like discriminated against?
I mean, it depends on like how out there they are.
So, yes, we think conservatives are dumb. Well, will you discriminate against them at the Federal Reserve? It depends how out there they are. So now if you're a conservative, if you believe that this country's moorings, the pillars, the foundations have been, should be, and must return to those virtues and values of faith, family, freedom, and limited government, strong borders, and let me alone to fend for myself with the help of my family and my community, small r republicanism, you are dumb in the eyes of the Federal Reserve. And if you don't think that that's impacting you, take a look at if you're trying to buy a home, if you're trying to refinance, take a look at the interest rates. Take a look at all of the money they're printing, how they're financing debt with more debt. It is absolute insanity. And they bought hook, line, and sinker the narrative that's come from our universities, from our elite, who now define and are part and parcel of the Democrat National Socialist Party. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to step aside. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the goings on of the day with Virginia Cruda, who, of course, writes for the Daily Wire. We'll see what's going on in Virginia's world and cover more of the goings on in your and my world as well. 101.9 94.1, The Randy Tobler Show. We'll be right back.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Well, certainly there are not enough foot soldiers in our quest to destroy woke and seek the truth. And one of the major three-star generals in that quest is Virginia Cruda, and she joins us now. How you doing, Virginia? Thanks for being with me.
I'm good. Actually, I was listening to the interview with Paula Scanlon earlier, and I was thinking, so I'm up early on a Saturday morning because I am on my way to a track meet. I'm on my way to a track meet where my 10-year-old daughter is competing. I spend most of my time, you know, my off work hours helping to coach that same daughter's winter swim team at the YMCA. So, like, I'm, and I don't know if you know this, but I was a swimmer in high school. So, like,
I didn't know.
Women in athletics, both of my sisters ran track and cross country. So, women in athletics is something that I've never really been away from. I mean, my mom played field hockey and swam, and, you know, back before Title IX was even a thing, you know, because she played field hockey in the late 60s, early 70s. So this would have been right about the time that people were fighting for more women's sports. And so my entire lifetime, women's sports have been a thing where only women could compete. And so I'm watching this, I'm watching all this happen, and I'm like, you know what? If it comes time to do it, I'm going to be the one going to the mat, because I'm not going to let this happen to my daughter.
What does go to the mat mean, Virginia? What would that mean in a theoretical situation where your daughter was asked to shower with a male whose junk was on full display?
Oh, well, you know what? You know how uncomfortable the girls are with the adult males in the locker room? I think enough female parents in the locker room would make him uncomfortable.
I think
because
I get the...
I am absolutely okay with going into a locker room and making sure that my daughter's safe.
Wow.
No question.
Sounds like no one wants to mess with Virginia if a transgender individual shows up in her daughter's locker room. Yeah, you're right. Now, what? On another level, though, another way to fight back, and we talked about it with Paula.
But I will pull her from competition if I have to. And that's
okay. That was my point. But wouldn't it be more effective if the coach and the entire team said, "We're out of here. We're not going to do this."
Well, right, and I am an assistant coach on her team, and that is something that I would be willing to do. I don't know about the rest of the coaching staff, but I know I've talked to enough of the parents to know that they are not, and this is parents of boy swimmers, parents of girl swimmers, they're like, no, there's a difference, and this is not okay.
Yeah, it's crazy that the feminist movement has gone so far off the rails that they've really, in a way, shot themselves in the foot. You know, I mean, there was a noble effort to protect women's sports, Title IX, on and on. And now some of these crazy woke, I guess you still call them feminists, I don't know, they're actually undoing what took so long to get, you know, codified. It just doesn't make any common sense. It's like craziness.
Well, the irony is that the feminist movement was kind of grew up to escape the patriarchy, and now they're inviting them back in. Like, do you not know what feminist movement stood for, guys? Like, it's like Ben Shapiro did a podcast on it probably a little over a year ago, where he's like, all the best women are men. Because it's all these men coming in and taking over and taking the scholarships and taking the prizes and taking the athletic prowess and taking the position on the podium and taking, you know, the assistant health secretary position. And, you know, we don't, you don't, all of these men are taking jobs that, I mean, can you imagine if Biden had picked a trans identifying man to be his vice president? Kamala Harris wouldn't have gotten, I mean, she wouldn't have had a chance.
Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, it's this is craziness. And I think that you are not alone in your sentiment among many coaches and moms of girls and women's sports across the land, that I think this pushback is going to gain more and more momentum, because I think the ruse is up. Right. They've been exposed for the fraudulent narratives they are.
I think it's also important to say, and this is something that if you follow J.K. Rowling, she said it on repeat. Riley Gaines has said something very similar. Look, if you choose to identify as whatever, I don't care. If you choose to wear, if you are biologically male and you don't believe that that's the right body for you and you want to wear makeup and have surgery and whatever, all these things, if you want to do all that stuff, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you. I don't agree with it. I think that we were all made in the image of God and he doesn't make mistakes. But at the same time, if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. However, the minute your decision impacts my daughter's ability to engage in her, you know, Title IX protected rights as a female athlete, the minute you are taking a place that belongs to a biological woman, then we have a problem.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more.
You do what you want to do. I'm not going to say you can't do it. But I also think it's important that if you look at the studies that are coming out and say, this is not safe to be doing to teenagers.
Oh, you're right.
Because just came out, the CAST report out of
yes. UK. I saw that you wrote on that on the Daily Wire. I mean, look, this is a pediatrician, a female pediatrician in the UK, who said, look, we have gotten it all wrong. And, you know, with these young, vulnerable individuals who are confused, and more often than not, almost uniformly, they have other mental health issues, and it often gets expressed as this gender dysphoria. I just want to be someone else. And instead of psychotherapy and medical therapy, if indicated, I don't mean hormonal, but I mean just traditional psychological and psychiatric meds, you know, they've gone off the rails. And isn't it funny that we honor everyone here in the United States loves the national health system. You know, when Obamacare was going on, the guy who was the sponsor of that loved it. Okay. But they've been there and done that, Virginia, and now they're turning it all back. Is America going to follow?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Hey, I want to switch gears and play something for you. Maybe you saw this Donald Trump showing up at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, and the love that was spread between the workers, an individual who represented, I think, three or four HBC universities in the area. And here's a little bit up from that lady. She is an organizer really in support of some sanity in the culture and those HBC. Here's when she gave Donald Trump a big hug. Take a listen to what she said in an interview the other day about the whole deal.
The general consensus, or social media, would have you thinking that if President Trump were to show up to the HBCU campuses or walk around the ABC community, that like some angry mob would form or a riot would ensue and that he would not be welcome. And clearly the sentiment in that room the other day was the complete opposite. He was very welcome. People were excited to see him. People showed up in support of him.
That was Conserve the Culture founder Michaela Montgomery, who gave Donald Trump a big, genuine hug. Your thoughts, Virginia?
I think that Donald Trump should be doing more of that and not so many rallies. Because the reality is everybody knows what he's like at a rally. He says the punchlines and he can reach more people at the same time. But the average person who's going to a Trump rally is somebody who already wants to see Trump. Like somebody who already is planning to vote for him, wants to get near him. I get it. But when he goes to these smaller venues, I guarantee you not everybody in that Chick-fil-A was sold on Donald Trump when he walked in the door. Mm-hmm. But when he walks in the door and you see that kind of response and you see the way he behaves around genuine people, as opposed to from a stage talking to thousands, it's a very different person. He's a very different person on the ground than he is at a rally. And I think that he reaches more people when he does that kind of thing. There's also the fact that when he says stuff at the rally, it's easy for the Democrat machine to make sound bites and say, he said this thing about MS-13 and I'm going to cut off this part. And it just says, he says all immigrants are animals. Well, no, that's not what he said, but you can spin it because you've got this rally sound bite now. When he's talking to real people on a one-on-one level, he doesn't say the kind of things that can get twisted that way. It just doesn't happen as often. Now, you can still get... Now, Joe Biden does. I mean, he says really, really strange things around mouthfuls of ice cream, but you don't get that from Trump because on the ground, he is not as addled as Biden is. He's a genuine person who is trying to connect with real people. And because he spent his entire life on a construction site, he's able to do it in a way that Joe Biden, who spent his entire life in Congress, is unable to do.
Well, I think you're right. And it's fascinating to watch him in action. You talk about a relatable Donald Trump. Boy, it was on full display there. In contrast with the elite event with Joe Biden eating Wagyu beef with the premier of Japan and Tim Cook and all of the Jeff Bezos. Hey, we got to run, Virginia, but it was a great, great conversation. And you tell your daughter to go get him there at the competition today. All right.
Yeah. In contrast with the elite event with Joe Biden.
All right. Looks like that's it. Yep. I guess she's checked off. Okay. Hey, well, we wish her good luck and we thank her for her support of women's sports and for being here on the program. You know, Jerome, you can hear the passion, brother. Don't mess with Virginia if she wants her daughter to just play with girls. I would say, woe be it unto that so-called trans female that shows up on the team that Virginia Cruda is coaching. That wouldn't be a pretty scene, would it?
No, it would not. I don't even want to mess with her.
Hey, when we come back at the top of the hour, after the top of the hour news, we'll be talking to Will Scharf, candidate for attorney general this election cycle, and you'll want to tune into that. And Becky Arps joins us with an initiative to protect the voting integrity here in Missouri, making sure citizens vote only. As we move along here on the Randy Tobler Show, News Talk 101.9 94.1. We'll be back.
The irony is that the feminist movement was kind of grew up to escape the patriarchy, and then now they're inviting them back in. Like, do you not know what the feminist movement stood for, guys?